It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the Gospel of John, the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 4th chapter, and we're going to begin reading once again with the first verse because we're going to read down through the 13th verse today. But I want to, there's just so much in there that we want to reread what we have already studied, and then we'll begin from there. So please open your Bibles to John chapter 4. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. You're going to find many messages there, the studies that we have on the radio, as well as the Sunday message, the plan of salvation, our constitution. Please, that you would search it out. Wonderful source of study, and that's the purpose, that you can grow. And so please, take a look at that, if you would, please, and enjoy it and grow from it. Come to know Jesus through it would be just the most greatest thing that could happen to you today. So please, look at it and enjoy it. And now, if you're ready to begin the reading of the Word of God, John chapter 4, going to begin with verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judah and departed to Galilee. He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then wast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Beautiful verses of Scripture to read. Please, now let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start the study. Father, we thank and praise you that we have the opportunity to come together and to study your precious Word. I just ask, Father, that all ears will be able to listen. I know that many are busy and traveling, and I just ask that they're able to listen and carefully listen. Hopefully, Father, they're able to be sitting down and in a quiet place where they can have their Bibles open and just enjoy the verse-by-verse study that we're going to have today. I ask that you'll touch every heart. You'll bring the lost to salvation, and we know that comes at the cross of Calvary where you died and took our sins away and thankfully and wonderfully rose again. We thank and praise you, Father, for all the work of salvation you've given us, and then we praise you for the life that you have given us. It's not just that you have taken our sin away, but you have set us on a path of righteousness and of living a life pleasing to you and of power and of service, and it's just wonderful, Father, and I thank you so much for all the blessings you have laid down for us, and please that we acknowledge that and we praise you for it. Now please, dear Father, today just guide and lead us. I thank you for this study that we're about to have. I praise you for it, praise you for all that are listening, and ask that lives be changed because of it. because of your power and your strength. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have enjoyed this study. I know I sure have. The Lord said that he had needs to go through Samaria. He had left Judah, heading for Galilee. And if you'll look on a map, you'll find that that's about halfway between Jerusalem and Nazareth. And when I kind of drew a line the way the bird would fly, why, it's somewhere in a little excess of 20 miles from Jerusalem, if I figured it correctly, just north of Jerusalem, is where this place would be found. There's much about this city that we know about, this area that we know about. Jacob purchased a parcel of land there. We're told that back in Genesis 33, verses 18 and 19. He purchased it for 100 pieces of money, the scripture says. He also erected an altar there, and he called that altar the God of Israel. And so to acknowledge his surrendering and acknowledge who gave him all the blessings that he had. And so we find that here at this location of Sychar. We also realize that this area here, this city, is also a refuge city. There are six refuge cities throughout the land of Canaan, and you can find those in Numbers chapter 35, and it will begin in around the sixth verse, and so you can look that up. So go back as a little research of the study today to Genesis 33, 18 and 19. Go to Numbers chapter 35, verse 6, and begin there, and you can read about these refuge cities. And a refuge city was a place if, say, for instance, an accident happened and someone was killed or injured, you could flee to one of these refuge cities, and they were placed geographically to where everyone could get to one of these refuge cities. And you would flee to that refuge city, and then for instance, if someone that was injured or died because of something you did, and it wasn't meditated, it wasn't planned, it was just an accident, but they didn't see it that way, and so they were going to take your life for the person's life that died. And so you could flee to this city, and then you would be under the jurisdiction of the Lord and be under his protection, and then everything would be sought out properly. It would be determined that it was an accident, and then you could stay in that refuge city until the high priest died, and then you could return home a free man. And so many things. There was this refuge city, and that was Sychar, was listed there, and it's Numbers 35:6. Jacob's well, we are told, was there in the sixth verse of this chapter, John chapter 4, verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So this Jacob's well, we don't know for sure if Jacob dug this well himself, if it was a well that his grandfather Abraham or his father Isaac possibly would have dug, because they made reference many times through the scripture about wells that they had dug. But I suppose that Jacob followed suit. And so we have this this well. It is said that it's could be as much as 100 feet deep. And so that kind of leads to some of the questions that this woman of Samaria has of how are you going to draw the water. It wasn't some shallow well. And so we have the record here. We have wearied with the journey. You know, Jesus becomes tired just like you and I. Yes, he is completely God, but he is also completely man. And so physically he would weary and be tired. And that's what we find here in the sixth verse. His body would tire, would be thirsty, would be hungry, and it said it's the sixth hour, and so most believe that that's about high noon, and so being noon is it's almost the hottest time of the day, and so we find the hour, and Jesus come to just sit on the well. Well, we know that it was more than just to come to sit on the edge of the well, because he had needs to go through Samaria. There's a purpose for everything that our Lord does. Now, we have this Samaritan woman here, and the last we had talked to and about was a man named Nicodemus. Oh, two complete different people. You know, one is self-righteous and religious and felt like they were without reproach. They were just perfect, however, lost. And now this woman of Samaria is just the opposite end of the spectrum. A woman literally of the street, very low morals, uneducated. And so we have both sides here. And you see what that tells us, that everyone needs Jesus. Sad to say, the educated are the ones that stay away from the saving power of Jesus because they're smart. They don't think they need a Savior. Well, that's so sad because they need a Savior just as the lowliest person that's ever lived. Again, in the 7th verse, it says, "And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, Give me to drink." The 4th verse says, "I have needs to go through Samaria." Here we know why that Jesus was heading in that direction, his purpose. He knew that this dear, sweet lady, yet a woman of the world, very much so, but everyone needs Jesus. And we tend to rate people by what they do or who they are and things like that. Jesus saw a lost soul. And when he saw this dear woman coming to the well, and she came to that well probably that time every day. The well is a place of a meeting. The women of that day, that was their job, was to haul the water. They didn't have running water as we do. They had to go to the well to draw water. And this well called Jacob's Well was a good well, was good water. And they would come and they would draw the water out and they would take it home. Well, this day we find that Jesus knew she was going to be there. Jesus knew all about this woman of Samaria. And as they come, it's wonderful to see that Jesus did not condemn this lady. He knew her heart. He knew who she was. He knew what she had done, how her life had been, her ungodly living. But he didn't speak of that, did he? "Give me to drink." He asked her something, a very normal question. "You're at the well, give me to drink." We find that as we look at this opportunity, that there doesn't appear to be anyone else around. Just Jesus and this woman of Samaria. She had need. Jesus was there, and he was about to present to her the living water. "Give me to drink," Jesus asked. And we find here in the 8th verse that his disciples had gone away into the city to buy meat. I want you to note not only that we're dealing with Nicodemus, with the religious, very educated, we're also dealing with this Samaritan woman that is at the opposite end, really an ungodly woman, and of very little learning, very little education, if any. So we have those two different spectrums, from one end to the other. And we also have that Jesus could have at any time, produced water. He could have performed a miracle. He fed the 5,000 from a young man's his lunch bucket. Jesus is a performer of miracles almost every hour. But what you'll find is Jesus does not perform a miracle for his own use. It's always for God's honor and God's glory. So when he was hungry, he did like you and I would do. He sent the disciples in to buy food. When he was thirsty, he would ask to have the water drawn. He never performed a miracle for his own use, always for someone else, never for personal use. Verse 9, then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus had asked this lady. He did not talk to her in some lowly fashion, like, I am a Jew, you're a Samaritan, and look down upon her. He asked her a simple, common question. Would you get me a drink, please? Something that would draw her attention, begin the conversation. She knew that he was a Jew. Jesus didn't have any problems with speaking to the Samaritan. Jesus is speaking to you as a sinner today, calling you, asking you to come to him for salvation. That's what he's asking. And so you see, my friend, Jesus has never changed. He calls out the rich and the educated, and he calls out the poor and the ignorant. There's no one exempt from the call of salvation that he gives, the free gift of salvation. However, this woman saw who he was by his dress. He always, a Jew, dressed differently than others, and so there were markings on his robe, on what he had on, that identified him without question that he was a Jew. And she said that, you have no dealings with me. History tells us that every morning a Jew would pray that Jehovah would deliver them from the sight of a Samaritan that day. That's how much they hated it, let alone to walk through the land. They wouldn't go through the land to begin with. They went around. And they didn't even want to see one. And in their prayer, their morning prayers, they would ask Jehovah, ask God to help them not to see a Samaritan. Well, this Jew, Jesus, is different. This hatred. And I want to take just a few minutes. We've looked at the two different sides here, Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman. And we're going to deal a little bit more about who she is in a little later in the study. But there's a reason why that the Samaritans are hated. I'm not saying it was a good reason, but it was a reason. And the hatred started back when Jeroboam withdrew from the nation of Israel and started the northern kingdom, which had 12 tribes. Israel became the northern kingdom, and Judah became the southern kingdom, 10 of the north and 2 of the south. Judah, the south, was in Jerusalem. The Assyrians, if you have studied, and it's a beautiful study, as you look at the, and we're not looking at a history book here, we're looking at the Word of God, tells us all these things. The Assyrians come in, and they capture the 10 northern tribes, and they carry them away into captivity. The Samaritans during that time then, this one little area, this location, the Samaritans began to mingle with the Assyrians. And also, there were others that was sent by the king of Assyria back to this area and to this region, and so they all intermarried. And so no longer was the Jew a pure Jew as God commanded that, and the Jews themselves saw that as the most wicked thing that could ever take place. If you would look to 2 Kings chapter 17, we'll find there is where they lost the right to be called a Jew. This hatred didn't stop here, because they even, when the building, when Ezra came back and Nehemiah and came back to build the temple, you'll find in Ezra chapter 4, come back to rebuild Jerusalem, they did not want to rebuild Jerusalem. You see, they didn't see the need. If you would study back in the days of Jeroboam, he built two places of worship, which God said that there were three times in their feasts and festivals through a year that you had to return to Jerusalem to worship. And Jeroboam said, let me make it convenient for you. And that's the way everything is today. Everything is made convenient for the people. We don't need to have things convenient. We need to serve and praise God. Now, Jeroboam didn't see that as a problem, and so he built two locations. And those two locations ended up being a golden bull or oxen, and they would come and would worship the true God, it said, at that location. Well, that was impossible to do, because at that time you had to travel back to Jerusalem. But he was making it convenient. He was making it convenient. And so we have two different locations, one in the southern part of this northern kingdom of Israel, and the other in the northern part, that way, convenient. And you don't have to travel to Jerusalem, Jeroboam said. The Jews of that day, those 10 tribes, should have told Jeroboam, that's not so, we must travel back to Jerusalem, but they didn't listen. And so not only was that a problem, and then the Samaritans in the mixture here, they became a mixed tribe, a mixed group, and by doing that, why they despised and rejected even the building once again of Jerusalem. And so there was much here that was between the Samaritans and the Jews, and the hatred just continued. And by the time Jesus come onto the scene, it was to its highest level of hatred of the Jews, of the Jews to the Samaritans, and wouldn't even travel back through the land. Jesus didn't mention, if you'll notice, that hatred, did he? He did not mention that. He wasn't concerned about a problem between the Jews and the Samaritans. He did not question that. That was not the time. So Jesus did not answer the question that she asked. And once again, verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus didn't deal with that. That wasn't a concern right now. And it should never be a concern with a believer in Jesus Christ when we are sharing the gospel with any person in the world, no matter what their nationality, their color of skin, or their denomination that they attend. It does not matter. What matters is your relationship to Jesus. And when you come by faith to Jesus, then, my friend, is when things begin to happen, because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within your heart, begins to grow you and to lead you in the way and the path of righteousness. And that's when you may leave the denomination you are in and seek out one that stands for the truth. Or you may find that the truth was there all the time and you had just missed it because you were not a born-again believer. And so Jesus was not concerned about this, the question that she asked. He was not concerned about the hatred between the two. He wants to bring her close to this living water. Now Jesus answered and said, here's in verse 10, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Living water. This gift of God, Jesus wants her to be saved. That should be the desire. Too often, my friend, we get into a discussion or an argument about some doctrine that a church has, and we miss the whole point of salvation. Salvation is the beginning of everything. We need to look to the Lord Jesus for salvation. He will save our soul. He will set us free. And then everything else builds upon that, the solid rock, the foundation of Jesus. But when we try to change somebody's life or their lifestyle because we think that they're living wrong or they're believing something wrong, my friend, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, don't waste your time trying to change somebody. Bring them to Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the cross of Calvary, and they need to be saved and born again. Tell them those wonderful words. Jesus did. Jesus said, I've got some living water for you. There are many references here, and I'm going to go through some of them because, you see, this woman was not real educated like Nicodemus, but she was not ignorant to the Word of God and the promises that was to come. And so when you go into the Old Testament, you'll find that there are many, many things that would lead them to the Messiah, to the Savior of the world, through speaking of this living water. I'm going to read and make reference to a few of them, and you can look them up later. This gift of God, again, refers to the grace, to salvation. And he says, if you knew who was standing next to you, who was speaking to you, if your mind was not blinded to the truth, you would see that the Savior is here. But you see, the old wicked world many times misses, even though the Savior is standing right there. And today that could be the case with yourself. You're feeling the Holy Spirit, and I say feeling, that you're going to recognize that you're lost. You're dying in your sin, and you need a Savior. You're dead in your sin and your trespasses, and you need a Savior. And today, I hope that you're seeing that to be Jesus. You just need to come to Him by faith, and He'll save you. Take your sin away, set you free. You'll begin that wonderful life. You need to hunt down a good Bible-believing, soul-winning church and start serving and start growing and follow the Lord in baptism. So many things that are a wonderful step, and that's a testimony of what has happened in your heart, not a requirement for salvation, but something that you'll want to do. This living water, and again, especially in the Old Testament prophecies, tell of good things to come. And a student of the Old Testament at this time would know and be thinking that we're talking about the coming Messiah. And if you'd look to Isaiah 12:3, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. In Isaiah 44:3, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. Zechariah 13:1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. What wonderful verses of Scripture. Jesus could have preached to her the ways of the Jews, but she would have turned away. Jesus spoke of something that was common to them. They were standing at the well. He spoke about water. Jesus, standing next to the well, asked a question, and it brought a response. She didn't turn away. She became curious. But, you know, like Nicodemus, she went immediately to the natural things, and that is that, you know, verse 11, you have nothing to draw with. The well's deep. Remember Nicodemus? Do I need to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? And so you see, the old flesh, the old nature doesn't change. No matter what spectrum, what area of life that you are, a religious Jew, lost, or a Samaritan woman, lost. Doesn't matter. What matters is your relationship with Jesus. We We've given you some verses of Scripture to look up. I hope that you do. We're going to start with that 11th verse next time we get together. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?